Hey everyone, this time we're hopping around the resorts in the final part of our Universal Orlando 101 series. Live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. This is the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition, episode 31. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect universal vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to a probably very weird episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I am your host, Craig Williams, and I am joined along with Jenny Lynn Knopp on my left, and hey, back everyone. In the production nook doing the controls and chatting with people, letting them know everything that's happening during this weird messed up day. Rhino.
Hello. Hello.
No last name for you. Hello. Just Rhino today.
Just Rhino. I like Madonna. Yeah.
Yeah. So for those of you who are listening or watching this on the later versions after they're recorded live, you won't know about any of the messed up thing that's been happening to us today, but for everyone who is watching or listening live, thank you for sticking with us through multiple issues, whether it has been audio not working one place or another and weird just random things happening left and right, but we're making it
completely dramatic.
Yeah, I'm a little stressed out right now, so.
It was our most exciting show yet, I think.
Well, most exciting pre-show. Or worst. One or the other. I'm not quite sure what exactly it is.
So bad it's good.
Yeah. But, yeah, so we're going to be finishing up our 101 review of Universal Orlando, our whole basic look of everything that the resort is about. So I'm excited for this one, resorts, because it's a little bit of a tease of what we're going to get more in depth in whenever we do our Universal 7 and 7 coming up in just a few months from now. And Well, I guess it's only a month until we start the actual preparation and recording for it.
Oh, it's going to be
good.
And
all that stuff. Yeah.
I'm excited about talking about this stuff today, too, because resorts are actually half of the vacation.
Exactly. And especially at Universal where, yeah, there's the two theme parks that are filled with hours and hours of entertainment and enjoyment. And then also even going on to City Walk, you can spend a good amount of time there. But if you want like a nice 5-day vacation at Universal, you're going to be spending at least 1 or 2 days actually enjoying the amenities at all the resorts and just really relaxing. Something that a lot of people strive to do over at Disney, but
it doesn't get mentioned as much for Universal, which is a shame because those resorts over at Universal are every bit as awesome.
Oh, they're fantastic. I can't wait to do it. And then on our 7 and 7, I know we're covering all four resorts, so Portofino Bay, Royal Pacific, Hard Rock Hotel, Cabana Bay Beach Resort. We'll do all those, and then we're going to back it up with a Royal Caribbean. Royal Caribbean.
Is that sponsored by MTV?
That is the Creole version of Royal Caribbean. We're going to be doing a Royal Caribbean four-night cruise for us. We're going to make it more like an 8 and 7.
But I am so ready.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm very excited for it. And we'll start on the basics of the hotels in just a short bit. But before we get to that, we have to go through all that crap that we always put at the beginning with
housekeeping.
Corrections, omissions, questions, this, that, and the other.
It's the junk drawer in your kitchen.
It is. And there's a lot of junk in the drawer today.
All right.
So keep moving on.
Like always, if you like what we're doing in any way, shape, or form, probably not today. You won't like it as much. Go ahead and like us on YouTube. Comment on whatever. Rhino's there answering the questions. If you do comment, I used to. I know you still pop in every now and then.
I
and
do. When somebody some says stuff. Something worthwhile, I respond.
Yeah, but that's getting far and few between.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
Yikes.
I'm joking. No, we're getting a lot of great feedback on the shows. And we've been reading a lot of it off, too. So
I've loved that about the viewership so far. They seem very interactive.
Interactive and willing to share.
Yeah. We do like hearing from you guys.
We do. So, you know, the best way to do that is comment on YouTube. You can email us UOPodcast at disunplug.com. Yes. UO podcast at disunplug.com. If I got that wrong, you can always head out to the show notes page at disunplug.com. Look for the blue universal section, and that's where you'll find all of our show notes with links to everything we talk about, and sometimes links to other random things. And sometimes the links just don't ever show up at all because I forget what we talk about, and I don't like listening to myself after the first time around. So go there for anything. If you want to go to disunplugged/contact, that's where you'll be able to actually find our email and the emails of everyone on the show, minus Rhino and JL, because I still haven't put your emails into the system yet. Oh, so
I was
going to
say, I know I have a Diz email now.
You do, it's but exciting. I still haven't really gotten around to it yet. I will. I promise. I'll put that in the show notes. Maybe. I'm not. And you can also leave voicemails there. I don't know if we have any voicemails yet because Dustin, our normal producer, who's not here because he's out
seeing the Grand
Canyon. Yeah, in Arizona with Pete Warner seeing the Grand Canyon. So we're, you know, we're back here doing the...
We're holding down the fort.
Doing the holding down of forts.
But that does not include checking voicemails.
Yeah. So...
We'll get back to that next week.
Yeah, we'll try to get back to that next week. So, and of course, subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't yet. Listen to us in any way you can, even if it's on Stitcher, which I still don't understand. But maybe someday someone will comment about it and we'll know a little bit more. And then find us on all our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter. We're out there, every single one of them. And I think that's going to do it for at least the bulk of this.
Of housekeeping. That's the shortest housekeeping we've ever had.
Oh, no. We're not done with housekeeping. Oh. That was the housekeeping. Now we have to get to the all
the questions and omissions junk. And
yeah. So we're going to start with a well, first off, I want to say we have gotten a lot of emails so far to the actual Universal podcast account email address that I think we're going to have to do an email show sooner than later.
Oh, I love those.
I wasn't expecting to have to do it, but it just all of a sudden, we just started getting them in. And I want to answer as much as I can before the shows like this. But then once you add in YouTube and Twitter, we're starting to run out of time for saying all this. So might have to bump a couple of the other planned shows for the future to concentrate more on
it. It'll be worth it. I think if people are taking the time to write to us, we need to take the time to respond.
That was very eloquently put. So I guess I'm going to start with some of the YouTube comments. The first one, it's more a little bit catty, I would say. Sarah Shonin asked, can we really get jet lag from a 3-hour time difference because of last week? Maybe that she was. I don't think she was being catty. I think she was just asking in general. I don't know where you're from, Sarah. I didn't bother to take the time looking at your Google Plus page. I'm guessing maybe you're a Brit and you're used to traveling 5-hour time differences to get to Florida from...
Maybe she's never traveled at all.
Maybe she's never... That's a good point. Maybe she's never traveled at all. I would, or she's only traveled East Coast or whatever coast she's from. Sorry. Okay. But yes, you can get jet lag from a 3-hour time difference.
Easily.
And I wish that was our excuse for why we're so frantic and crazy today, but
today it's just drama.
Yeah, well, no, I wouldn't say that word.
Technical it's drama.
Technical difficulties. That's always the best way to put it.
Okay, we'll go with Craig's version. Yeah, of it.
Drama. It's 5 letters that I just don't really care about. Really 4, but who's counting?
Nope, it was 5. You got that on the first time. Count.
It was a joke. So, Sarah, thank you for commenting on that and asking that question. Gabby Trevisan, or Trevisan, I'm not quite sure how that one works either, but
Gabby Trevisan.
I'd kind of say Gaby because it looks like baby, but with a Gaby.
I'm going with Gabby. Okay. But go ahead.
It works out. Hi, I'm traveling to Orlando and we'll visit Universal on September 15th and 16th. Do you think we'll need to buy express passes? We won't do any roller coasters. Thanks.
That's actually not cut and dry, I don't think. September, things haven't quite picked up with the Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, Halloween Horror Nights will start basically the next weekend after that.
I would say with September's usually a low attendance season. And then if they're not doing the roller coasters, which are the ones that have the longest lines... Maybe they don't need the express pass.
I honestly don't think that they need the express passes for that time. As you just mentioned, September is one of the slower times because a lot of schools go back in August, right at the end of August. So typically those first 2 or 3 weeks of September are some of the slowest you'll see all year, including then also around late January, which not at Universal anymore because now they're doing the Harry Potter celebrations at that point in time. So they kind of eliminated that slow bit. But September, the first couple weeks, they're still really slow. Once HHN hits,
in the beginning.
Then it'll get busy. But right in that period, I can't foresee why you would need them as long as you're planning accordingly and smartly.
Well, I was going to say that the best part about them is like if you just come in, you can just come in for a couple hours. And if you're like, you find the lines bearable, then you save yourself that money. And if not, then just buy them.
Basically, we don't think that you need the express pass for your vacation coming up in September. However, as Rhino suggested, once you get there, should you decide that we are wrong, you still have the option of purchasing those passes while you are in the park.
Exactly. So, and then kind of piggybacking off of the express, Jeremy Oda actually gave us a little bit of tidbit about express history because I didn't really know it. It was before my time, but he thought our express show was interesting, but he wanted to also add in that Universal used to have a free express pass system that was similar to Disney's paper fast pass system, except you were given a choice of two times to come back. When they introduced the pay system with the one trip on each ride, it was called Express Pass Plus. The free system was discontinued, he thinks, around September 2005. And apparently, even as of recently, you used to still be able to see Express Pass Plus signs throughout the park, which I guess I've never really bothered looking at. But I didn't know any of that.
You know, and I didn't either. But I really love the Express Pass system that they have in place. Yeah. I think that it's great that even though you have to pay extra for it, that there's a system where you can just go on any ride at any time with that little thing hanging around your neck, and there doesn't it's very flexible and convenient. That's what I like about this one.
I agree wholeheartedly. And then our final one is actually an email from Steve in Michigan. I wanted to address this because he said he's coming up the last full week of April on his trip. He says they have two park hopper passes for 3 days. And he heard that the Harry Potter lands can get pretty crowded throughout the day. He's asking, is that every day or just in peak times? I guess the best way to answer it is, yeah, they're busy all the time. But with that, with the two park hopper pass, the two parks for
3 days.
For 3 days, I think he's easily going.
He's going to cover it.
Yeah, he's going to cover it if it's busy whenever you go in and try. Just leave and try to come back in a little bit. I mean, obviously there are certain smart times to ever go to the busiest sections of parks first thing in the morning as soon as it opens. That's usually when you'll see sometimes a little bit longer waits, but still some of the more manageable waits, because once you get into later in the day, there might be breakdowns and other occurrences that happen.
If it's during the summer, it's really hot.
Yeah, it could. I mean, you might start getting into more actual issues if you wait until later in the day than just going first thing in the morning. But then sometimes, because you do have those breakdowns, the lines can completely clear, and then you can just get lucky in the middle of the day and hit it at the right time. Or even on top of that, at the end of the day, right before the park's closing, jump in that line and get one last ride in. Those are the best times, in my opinion, to actually hit the Wizarding World of Harry Potter's, just random times in the day when no one else expects it, first thing in the morning or last thing at night.
Agreed. 100%.
Cool. Well, I hope that helps for your trip coming up, Steve, in Michigan. Shouldn't be that bad right at the last week of April, because we have Easter coming up this weekend and then spring breaks are going to be winded down. So
yeah, May's usually a really pleasant time to tour the parks.
Yeah, I agree. Right, kind of the same thing as always. Those first couple weeks of May aren't as awful, and then
you hit Memorial Day weekend, it gets a little hairy. But other than that, it's a good time to go.
Exactly. So I think that's going to do it for all of our housekeeping and corrections, omissions, questions, all that jazz. Hopefully we have no further issues in this show and we can actually get on to the good stuff here. The reason why we came here today, the Resort 101.
Hoot.
Hoot. So I'll just do a little bit of basic discussion about the resorts right now. As I mentioned at the top of the show, there's four different resorts currently there. You have the Portofino Bay Hotel. Mm-hmm. You have the Hard Rock Hotel. You have the Royal Pacific Resort and then the Cabana Bay Beach Resort. So they're all owned and operated by Loews Hotels. If anyone was wondering, it's not like Disney where Disney owns the hotels on their property and they manage and operate it. These are all owned and operated by Loews in conjunction with Universal. So Universal did all of the theming and the Loews Hotel employees still get some of the perks of Universal and have to go through a little bit of their training too to better understand the whole Universal product. But if you haven't stayed at a Loews Hotel in any other city, they are first-class experiences. Mm-hmm. I've only stayed at one, actually, and it was in Hollywood, mm-hmm. right on the important place where the Chinese Theater is and the Dolby Theater. I believe is that Sunset?
I think so, but
yeah.
I mean, well, it sounds right.
I stayed at that one, and oh my gosh, was it an incredible experience. And then the ones here are also
an
incredible experience.
They really are. I was actually taken aback by it by the first time that we ever toured them.
Yeah, and then the nice thing about all the hotels on Universal property too, like the parks and City Walk, everything is in walking distance. Mm-hmm. So the Hard Rock is literally right beside Universal Studios Florida. And you can walk there in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice little walk.
It is. You pass all these pretty little plants and flowers and hope you don't get run over by a pedicabber. It's fun.
I know. And then Portofino on that side, the Universal Studios Florida side, then Portofino Bay is a little bit further out. Mm-hmm. Not a ton further, but walking, if you're a fast walker like me, I make it in about 10 minutes. If you're on the slower side, maybe 15 to 20. But as you just mentioned, they have the
pedicabbers,
rickshaws, whatever we want to call them. I'm not getting into that discussion again.
We're going with pedicabbers.
I'm going with rickshaws. Rickshaws on bikes. So that's just a little bit further out. And then on the Islands of Adventure side, that's where you're going to find the Royal Pacific Resort, and then a little bit further out, that's not, it's really tight to call it walking distance, Cabana Bay. I walked it at my speed and it took about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get into a long hike if you are a slow walker, if you're pushing strollers, anything like that. But
for that one, it's probably better to take the bus that they provide to the parks, and it's a pleasant experience. I've done it myself. They've got a nice little waiting area where you can actually wait inside the hotel while you're waiting for the bus. You don't have to wait outside in a very hot and muggy bus stop.
That's a perfect point. They do run the bus system from Cabana Bay, and actually all the hotels do offer bus services just in case anyone would need them. And the drop-off and pickup is right at City Walk, not all the way out to the parking garages, but kind of in the main hub area of the City Walk split off. So, and if you're lucky enough to be staying at the deluxe hotels, which are Portofino, Royal Pacific, or Hard Rock Hotel, you actually have boat transportation too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice.
It's very pleasant.
Yeah, they usually have one boat running just back and forth between each resort. So let's say if you're all the way out at Portofino and you're expecting the Hard Rock boat to go out there and just pick you up because there's not many people there. They don't do that. Then, meanwhile, if you're also staying at the Portofino and there's people waiting for the boat at Hard Rock, they're not going to stop and pick them up. It's one boat per resort. Just go back and forth, and it's a relaxing boat ride, even if you're not staying at the resorts. If you just want to, you know,
ride a boat
and screw all those people who are actually staying out of the resorts of getting on that boat because you decided to go on it. It's a very pleasant ride, and it's a great source of transportation. And I guess we should mention it because it's coming very soon. Sapphire Falls, which will be technically the first moderate resort at Universal. I already mentioned the three deluxe. then Cabana Bay Beach Resort is technically considered a value resort, but you could almost, that's just because of the price point. It's a value leaning onto a moderate for sure with their family suites, which we'll get into in just a short, short bit. But Sapphire Falls is coming and it will be the first moderate. It'll have a little bit of the amenities that the deluxes have, not all of them.
Will it have the express pass?
It won't have the express pass.
Okay.
That's a great thing to point out. The deluxe resorts, the three deluxes have
they come express. With express passes.
Yep. Unlimited express too. So that's a big perk. If
it is a perk, and not only just a perk, but a value. We mentioned this when we had the express pass show, but it actually ends up saving you money if you were planning on purchasing the express passes anyway, because you can get at your everyone that is staying at your hotel, in your hotel room, your family of four or whatever it is, everyone gets these express passes, whereas if you were to pay for these express passes for everyone individually, it really racks up.
Exactly. So the express passes at the three deluxes, but all the resorts have the accessibility for early park entry. So you get to go in an hour early to whatever park is open at that time. Right now, it's, as we talked about on one of our first shows, wow, it was Islands of Adventure is doing the early park access. In busier times, Diagon Alley is opening up for it as well, so that way people get that first crack at Gringotts and the rest that Diagon Alley has to offer. But now it's kind of shifting back to Islands of Adventure, and that could change at any point in time, so definitely get that information when you go to your hotel. But that extra hour in the morning, you can knock off the Wizarding World before day guests get in. And
makes just, a huge difference.
Oh, yeah. No, it's that changes your entire touring day.
Absolutely.
If you get in there for that. And then other perks of staying at the hotels, you just, you're cool.
It's awesome. It's more relaxing. It's just a lot less stressful. And the hotels are just flipping amazing.
Yeah. I honestly, whenever I was starting to do all the script for this and write it up, thinking about it, you know, we get the question a lot of how can you easiest, what's the easiest way to get from Disney over to Universal to spend a day there. And we talk about the transportation tickets that that can be sold where you get free transportation back and forth as well as your park admission. But wouldn't it be so much more relaxing to actually go over maybe in the morning, even if it's taking a cab, Uber, whatever, get there in the morning and then stay a night or two while you're actually experiencing it, so you don't have to worry about that traveling back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
You can never trust I-4.
I was just going to say, especially now that they've started like construction on I-4, it's just 10 times worse than it used to be. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's the hardest part about going from Disney to Universal is just that strip of I-4 that you have to go down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because you have the beach line, 528, right across there. You have SeaWorld in the middle to worry about. Oh. Downtown not so much Disney. Lately, but
ooh,
and then that first 535 Lake Buena Vista exit where you have the outlets and also Downtown Disney access and Crossroads, it just bottlenecks there. So if you're coming over, might as well stay a night. If you're going to do two days in the parks, just stay the night there.
Yeah.
It's going to pay off because then you're going to get your express too for both of those days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's only win-win. So if we didn't sell you enough on the amenities, well, the perks of the resorts now, maybe we'll sell you as we actually go through
Let's
the
do
resorts.
It.
And we're going to start at Portofino Bay Hotel, the original Universal Hotel. So it opened in 1999 as a part of that entire City Walk project and adding on Islands of Adventure. Portofino Bay is absolutely gorgeous. It's
yes.
themed as a replica of Portofino in Italy, and it's always gets noted for its realism, even by I don't believe it's the mayor of Portofino or some type of important person, but he came over with the grand opening and just was blown away by how it captured the actual Portofino in Italy so well. And it is remarkable.
It is. They have a little courtyard kind of on the back side of the resort that surrounds the water area. And then they have little tiny boats anchored everywhere. It yeah. looks very Italy-ish and impressive. And the way that they have all of the buildings look like they are separate buildings smashed together. with different structures and designs. And you go with little shops sprinkled everywhere, multiple places to eat and hang out. It's kind of like its own little thing.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. And it is the flagship resort of Universal. This is the one they tote to everyone. It's the big boy, the most expensive, all that stuff.
You definitely get a sense of luxury the second you step in the door.
Absolutely. I mean, it's remarkable. It's not always, it's not my favorite resort there.
It's not mine either, but it is, it just oozes the sense of luxury. I mean, we talked about the decor of the outside, but even on the inside, it's themed so well. So even when you're inside, there's sections of the resort that make you feel like you are walking down, you know, alleys of Italy.
Yeah, that's specifically over by the meeting areas and the gift shop that they have in there. So the standards of the room, there's 750 guest rooms there, 45 of them being suites, which is pretty sweet. You can basically have your choice of two different rooms. You have
not those rooms.
Not those rooms. None of those rooms, if you're watching the video version.
Sorry. Those were the next ones. I thought
that was... that must have been
I haven't been inside of this hotel.
So there are garden view rooms and bay view rooms. So the bay view rooms look out over the water area, the garden, look at just random trees, parking lots if you're unlucky, roads, stuff like that. The rooms are actually really large here, too.
They are.
The standard room is 450 square feet, which is massive. And then the next level up, the club level, which we've been lucky enough to stay at, too, is 490 square feet.
Yes.
Which that's a significant difference between the two.
I stayed in that room with all of my three children and there was ample space. At no point did we feel crowded and in each other's faces.
I agree. And they also, well, that's because they sleep up to five people in the rooms with a roll away, but very comfortable. And then if you're on club level, of course you're going to get concierge lounge with that and, you know, the free food and drinks throughout the day at random times.
Which actually was one of my favorite parts of that resort.
Yeah. No,
it's great to go in there and just sit and relax. They've got papers. They've got, you know, a TV going. You can even go in there. This was a nice thing with my kids. They have board games that you can go and borrow and play. If you're just wanting to sit and hang out, not do the theme park thing for a little bit and just chill out and unwind, that's a great place to do it. And then all the food and the drinks right there.
And with club level rooms, you also get the fitness center for free, the Mandara Spa and Fitness Center. Normally, that is actually a charge if you're just in a normal room. But if you start into the club level in the suites, then you get it for free, which is a big perk because I believe it's like $10 a day, which, you know, if you have the money to stay at Portofino, then you also have the money to really work out on vacation if you want to, I guess. And then one of the cool, with suites specifically, the Despicable Me Kids Suites.
Yes.
Which I believe we do have a picture of that, and we'll put it up in the show notes as well. We got to see these rooms on a tour
that's cute.
We took. And
they're amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you're getting punched in the face with Despicable Me.
Yeah, minions everywhere.
That's the whole point
of it. It's a huge minion party, right down to the way that they design the beds. It is a kid's dream.
Well, I love that they're sleeping in the bombshells like the kids in the movie do. That's cute. It's a nice little touch.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, in terms of the suite, there's actually two rooms to it. There's the adult side and then there's the kids side. The kids don't have access to the outside hallway either. So they have to go through the parents' rooms in order to exit. So if anyone was ever
concerned, worried
about that,
because you know what happens? Don't have to
be. That's cool.
Kids get curious and that kind of stuff can happen, but it won't happen there.
It won't happen there, no. So that's, and then of course there's presidential suites and all that fanciness, but won't go into all those because I'm never going to stay at all those. I think.
Probably won't either.
Some people will. And if you're more interested in it, we will provide a little bit more information whenever we do our 7 and 7 review of it.
Hoot.
So moving on to kind of the recreation of the area. As we mentioned, there is the Mandara Spa and Fitness Center, which is an extra cost. But something that isn't an extra cost, the three pools that they have there. So they have a beach pool, a villa pool, and then the hillside pool.
And they're beautiful pools.
They are. The beach pool, that's the crown jewel of pools there. It's got a little bit of sand in it, and that's where you're going to find the pool bar that they have there and get some service from that. And it's just wonderful. I can't say enough good things. There's a water slide.
When we talk about Disney resorts on the Diz, the other Diz show, Diz Unplugged, pools are a huge thing for people that are staying at those resorts. I just kind of wanted to emphasize for those of you that do not know, the Universal pools are not any less spectacular. They are completely on par with what you would expect from a Disney pool area.
I would actually say they're better
in some ways. In some ways, there's a touch more class.
There's definitely a touch more class whenever it comes to even the beach chairs. I mean, you get, if you get a cabana at one of the Disney resorts that offer cabanas, you're going to get that nice beach chair. At Universal,
everyone gets a nice beach
chair. Gets a very nice beach chair at the deluxe resorts.
I agree.
Specifically. They're cleaner. It seems like they keep them more.
They're on top of it.
Yeah.
The chairs or the pool?
All of the above, the whole area. Yeah. You know, it just, you go and it, rather than it being seeming chaotic and everyone's going crazy in all different kinds of directions.
A little more relaxed.
It feels serene.
Yeah.
Especially at Portofino.
Yes.
Oh, for cool. Sure. We'll get to the other ones as we get there. There's shopping all around the resort. You can buy some Portofino specific merchandise too if you're into that sort of thing. Can just get any types of Universal stuff. It's a hotel. It has to have a gift shop. That's standard. Dining, a lot of dining at Portofino, including Mamma Della's Ristorante.
Oh, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's just fantastic Italian food. Homemade, like,
I would say authentic.
A mom's making it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is authentic.
Exactly. And it's all themed as if you're sitting in a house and you're sitting in the different rooms and the chairs won't be the same at the tables. Mm-hmm. And it's hefty food, but great food.
You can't overlook the entertainment that travels from table to table.
They have operatic singers
that will roam.
That's cool.
To each table and serenade you.
Sometimes embarrassingly.
Yes, but the singer, she is breathtaking.
Yep. There's a man and a woman who both do it. They kind of just switch off.
He accompanies. I've never heard him sing. I've only heard her. He accompanies her, but he sings as well?
Yeah, there's multiple people that do it. I mean, you can't expect these people to work every night of the week, can you?
Well, she's always there when I'm there.
Well, you just get lucky then. Moving on, Biche. I've never eaten there, but it's the upscale restaurant. That replaced, I can't remember what the name was, but it was like the fanciest restaurant, I guess, in Universal even before. So I'm just going to move on instead of trying to embarrass myself talking about something I don't know about. Trattoria del Porto, it's a casual dining open throughout the day. Relaxing, easy food. Sal's Market Deli, that's your quick service. Sandwiches, meatball subs, salads, drinks, stuff like that. The Thirsty Fish, my favorite bar there. It's right below Biche.
We hung out there for a little while.
Yeah, we did hang out there for a little while.
It was a really fun atmosphere. Everyone was very energetic and obviously having a good time, and it just kind of lent itself to this general jovialness in the place.
Absolutely. Bar American, that's the hotel lobby bar, which is good in its own right. Yeah. And then I mentioned that there is a pool bar. That's the Splendido Bar and Grill. Get some sandwiches throughout the day while you're relaxing, some drinks.
Wow, there are a lot of food options.
There are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
impressed.
To wrap that up, there's a Starbucks, a full Starbucks store. One of only two right now at the resorts. Cabana Bay has the other one. And then if you're feeling like you want some gelato, there's a Gelateria.
Nice.
Yep.
Can't go to Italy without gelato. So.
Exactly. And then the last thing I wanted to mention specifically was some of the events that happen at the resort, so you don't get caught off guard if you're ever there. They have Harbor Nights, usually once a month at the end of the month, and it's a big party right out in the harbor piazza, as we've already discussed earlier with the boats and the goodness. And you'll see people drinking wine, smoking cigars, having a good time.
Awesome.
So if you're confused what's happening, probably Harbor Nights or something else. That'll move us into our next resort, the Hard Rock Hotel, the second resort to come. And that opened in 2000. The Hard Rock Hotel has, in my opinion, the classiest of Spanish mission themes.
Yes, I would agree with that. The architecture is what you're referring to.
Yeah, I really like that Spanish Mission, California.
I love it. Agreed.
I just love driving around California looking at the houses that are actually built like that. I wish I could have one of those houses one day. Not the size of this because it is a giant hotel, but Hard Rock Hotel obviously has also the music,
the hard rock theme going to it.
And you're going to hear loud pop music.
You know, I don't know. I wouldn't normally think that the Spanish Mediterranean architecture that you're talking about would go with, you know, hard rock, you know, Aerosmith or whatever that you're thinking about. But it blends perfectly.
Well, not Spanish Mediterranean.
Well, okay.
Spanish Mission. The California old style that you would see in Zorro and...
Yes. But it works.
I believe the heart of rock and roll is in L.A.,
okay.
No, I don't.
Well, maybe that's why it works. Nashville. I never put those things together in my mind, but it works well.
I put it together, and I like it just fine.
Tell us how you really feel.
A lot at Hard Rock. We've already said it's the closest to Universal Studios Florida,
yes.
Which that's a benefit in itself.
It gets points just for that.
Exactly. And then there's 650 guest rooms there. There's all sorts of things. There's suites.
Mm-hmm.
There's standard rooms. There's garden view rooms, pool view rooms. Those three specific varieties, those are all going to start at about 375 square feet. So
I was going to say, I don't remember the Hard Rock Hotel rooms being as big as the ones at Portofino Bay.
Yeah, and their rooms all just went through a nice renovation, so they're... Mm-hmm. They're looking nice right now. They're looking really nice. I liked a lot of the details that are actually popping up in the rooms. Like we saw the on the wall right beside the bed, they have a giant mirror-like object.
I was hoping you were going to bring this up.
Yeah, and it actually has different heights of the musicians as it goes up. So that way you can see who your musician
who you measure up to.
Yeah.
When he says mirror-like object, he actually means mirror. It's a genuine mirror that you can look into.
Yeah, but if it's got lines on it, then that kind of interrupts your view of yourself.
Not too much. So,
well, it would for me. Just saying. And then you can get bigger and better rooms, like deluxe queen rooms that are 500 square feet, deluxe king rooms that are 400, club level rooms that have the same fitness and concierge benefits. There's 95 of those, and they are only 375 square feet, so they don't get that big jump up that they do at the Portofino Bay Hotel. And then you got luxury suites, as I already mentioned. They have kids' suites there, too. They're not themed quite like the ones at Portofino and Royal Pacific, which we'll get to the Royal Pacific ones in just a short bit here. But they still do offer that same kids' suite style for families that accompanies to. And then my personal favorite suite that they have there, which is because I'm an Elvis fan, is the Graceland suite. I've never seen it, but I've seen a picture.
You just fell
in
love by first sight on the internet.
He's the king. So there's a pool there, as we mentioned. This is actually one of the best pools on property for multiple reasons. One, you have a water slide, and everyone loves a water slide, right?
Oh, yes.
Yep. What'd you say?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. I heard something else, but so did Rhino. It's a large pool, 12,000 square feet. I mean, it's just massive. And there's a sand beach that goes along with it. A lot of palm trees around. Very relaxing. But the coolest feature of this pool is that they pipe music in under the water. So while you're swimming around, you can be listening to music.
Yeah, that is cool. Well, obviously the music theme permeates throughout. They've got, you know, music paraphernalia in all different corners of the hotel that you can look at and feel like you've touched things that the rock stars have touched.
Oh, yeah. So, dining. Let's go on to dining now. At the Hard Rock Hotel, you have not quite as many options, but some of the best options all property-wide. The kitchen.
Which is incredible.
Yeah, it's kind of based on artists' favorite foods and kind of like, oh, if you're out on the road, what would you want cooked for you? And even some artist-inspired dishes as well. And I've seen pictures of it, but it's not apparently rare for different musicians to come in and actually go cook something in the kitchen just fun, which seems weird to me, but a lot of comfort food. The mac and cheese that they have there is excellent. I could eat there once a month if I could afford it. And they have that
dessert item that's like a pound of...
Yeah, it's like the 12-layer chocolate cake, which is just disgusting.
Yeah. You got to make sure you're going to be eating that with a few people. You can't take that on by yourself.
I don't even like thinking about it. But then again, I'm also rude. But the Palm Steakhouse, based off of the Palm Steakhouse in New York City, well, actually, it is the best steakhouse that they have on property. Doing the quick mathematics in my head, I believe it is the only true steakhouse that they have on property. But, I mean, if you're looking for a date night or anything, this is something to sincerely consider. You're going to get a little bit of a shock value with the sticker price on everything. But, I mean, you're staying in a fancy hotel and it's a steakhouse. It got to go all out. Velvet Bar, that is the lobby bar. And that's also where they hold an event that happens on a monthly session at the end of the month or third Thursday in the end of the month, something stupid like that. Velvet Sessions, where they resurrect some of your favorite dying and decaying artists to come and sing some songs for you.
Such as, can you pull any out of the top of your head?
Oh, God. Who was the person that was
Brett Michaels has been there, right?
Brett Michaels has been there. The last person I wanted to see, they added a special show for him in December. It was the lead singer of Guess Who.
Okay.
So American Woman, all those fun songs. You know, when you put me on the spot like that, it's really difficult. I think Lynyrd Skynyrd even
did it. I think you're right.
A little while ago. They get some.
They are big names. They're big names, but big names for back in their day.
Exactly. That's very eloquently put, like most of the things you say.
Thanks.
Emac and Bolio's Marketplace, that's your quick service, kind of right beside the kitchen walkway to get to the kitchen, and down on pool level, so that's easy to access it. And if you're at the pool, you have Beach Club Pool Bar. That's Hard Rock Hotel. Not much to it except music, peace, love, and
happiness.
Fantastic. Moving on to Royal Pacific Resort. That would be the third Lowe's hotel that opened up on property, and it opened in 2001. Just
hold on just a minute. I have to ask you a question. Okay. Is this one your favorite?
No.
No, okay.
Partially, but no.
Of the three deluxes, this is my favorite of the three deluxes.
See, before we get into it, I guess since we opened up this can of worms now, I got to get into it.
Okay.
I love everything about the Hard Rock Hotel in terms of as I've already geeked out about, the Spanish style architecture. I love that the rooms are so classy and modern looking. The old rooms, I never got to see them, but the new rooms that I have seen, they are spectacular in my opinion.
You do feel like you're living like a rock star when you stay there.
I don't need a themed room necessarily. I need a nice, comfortable room, and I feel like that's what they have. The rest of the hotel in general, I think it's a little noisy and a little flashy. Like, God, they project a clock into the middle of the lobby on the floor whenever you walk in. Like, something like that, that's just, it seems a little unnecessary. There's unnecessary touches all around. You can say that about any hotel. But the feeling I get at Royal Pacific whenever I'm inside the guest areas, or common areas, I guess I should put it. That makes me love that resort. So it's tough. It's a toss-up because I love the outside and the exteriors and the rooms of Hard Rock, but I love just being inside, walking around the common areas and the restaurants and everything of the...
That's what strikes me about that Royal Pacific as well.
So, as I said, Royal Pacific, it opened in 2001, and it is themed to the South Pacific Polynesian-style atmosphere,
And it's themed very well. Don't they have like a crashed plane somewhere?
Yeah, they do have the crashed plane over in the giant pool waterway area section. It's over by the pool, but it's connected to the boat launches. I don't know terminology for all this stuff, but don't walk into it expecting it to be like the Polynesian over at Disney. No. It's not the Polynesian at Disney. This is South Pacific. Think classic Bali High is Calling. Yes. And that kind of attitude.
Frou-frou umbrellas and lots of interesting sculptures. And
I would say it's the not so romantic version of it. Like,
not a romanticized
version? A romanticized version of it.
I would also say that...
Not kitschy.
Instead, you know, with the Polynesian Hotel over at Disney, it feels very Polynesian. With this one, there's also more like an infusion of Asian influences. Yeah.
Oh, I absolutely agree. It does have that where Disney's Polynesian Village Resort lacks that. That, to me, is more... The entire resort is just what a tourist dream of going to these tropical areas would actually look like. And this is more of a realistic. I've never been there, so you can grill me all you want after this if I'm completely wrong, but I feel like this would be a little bit more realistic going into that South Pacific, Southern Asia type areas. It's beautiful though.
You never lose sight of the fact that you're at a hotel, but it's just completely elegant and luxurious as you're walking throughout.
I absolutely agree. One of the larger resorts, there's 1,000 guest rooms and even a convention center attached onto it too. So you're going to get all the businessmen there drinking Mai Tais at night.
I'm not sure that's a plus, but...
That's fine. I don't know. Maybe for some people. These rooms are going to be a little bit smaller. So the garden view and water view, standard guest rooms, they start at 335 square feet. They also do have club rooms and suites. The 51 club rooms, they only start at that 335 square feet as well too. But once again, like Portofino and Hard Rock, you get that fitness center and concierge lounge access, which is invaluable in many opinions. Very comfortable rooms.
That's the word.
Definitely
that
on the smaller
me.
Side if I, you're standing in them. But
what I liked about these rooms, I mean, comfort is what is definitely, you nailed it, the word that comes to mind. Of all the rooms, these are the rooms to me that feel the most like home. Comfort in home is what I think. I mean, it's still luxury, it's still elegant, but it feels more like home.
Not my favorite, but.
They're my favorite.
I think they're still excellent, excellent rooms. And then one of the cooler aspects of it is their kids' suites. Just like Portofino has the Despicable Me, over at Royal Pacific, you have the Jurassic Park kids' suites.
Nice. Look at that.
I mean, I guess for the right age of kid and the right bravery of kid, they might look at it as dinosaur rooms until they turn on Jurassic Park and
then they'll have nightmares.
Scared to death. Yeah. But, or after they go on the ride and then they realize they have to go back to the kids' suite.
Your kids may not actually sleep in the room.
Yeah, but, you know, that's fine. Change rooms. Leave it open. I remember whenever we took our hotel tour, they said the Jurassic Park kids' suites are basically always sold out, which I can understand
why. Yes, absolutely.
I would love to stay in one sometime. Not as much as Rhino, but I would still love it.
We should do it when the new movie comes out.
I'm all in.
Well, no girls allowed.
Fantastic.
Ew.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, well, that's fine because, you know.
Moving on.
It's not. But, so they have a pool. It's a good pool.
It is.
It's a pool. One of the things now that, because I don't have much to say about this pool besides the fact that it's comfortable, it does the same things as the other pools, has a pool bar, it has a... They're dive-in movies where you can watch movies while you're swimming. All the pools have that. One of the coolest aspects about all of the Universal Lowe's Hotel properties is that you can actually pool hop. Your key card, despite it only thinking that it's only good for your hotel and your room, it will also open up access to all the other pools so you can get in.
So do they publish that information or is that like you're just telling us a little?
I believe they publish it in some places, but... It's very open information that they'll even suggest
That's cool.
Not as much during busier times whenever they want people to be able to enjoy their home pool. But in slower times, that's, I mean, if you're staying at Cabana Bay, what better way to try to upgrade the next trip than to go around to the other resorts and look at their pools and see their amenities?
Little preview, yeah.
Yeah, it's a smart thing. So something that I would definitely recommend taking advantage of. Don't miss the pool at the Royal Pacific Resort. But I want to go over to their dining because this is actually my favorite dining. As much as I said I like the Hard Rock Hotel dining, this is where it gets good. I never get the name right. Emerald's Chop Chop. That's mm-hmm. what I just say.
Well, isn't how else would you say it?
I don't. Corey.
Chop Chop?
Chop Chop?
Okay.
Chop Chop? I don't know.
I'm with you.
One of Emerald's two restaurants on Universal Orlando property. This one is my favorite just because it's at Royal Pacific, and it carries along that same theme. In the inside of the restaurant is absolutely gorgeous, but then my favorite part about it, it's got the tiki drinks in there, and it's got a special tiki glass that you can buy and take home, and I have a slight obsession with tiki drinks. They're way too sweet for me.
You just turned like a little boy at Christmas with the tiki drinks.
I don't know. I love collecting tiki ware, and you can do that at Emerald's Chop Chop, so that's why it wins an award for me, and the food is excellent as well. I mean,
is it different food than it's a different setup than the City Walk one, right?
Yeah, the City Walk one is very New Orleans Creole style cooking, which you would expect from an Emeralds. This is more of a Asian infused inspired menu, Polynesian Asian, that whole aspect of it. It's excellent, pricey, but they do happy hours with some discounted appetizers and drinks. So something I would definitely take advantage of. They also have the Islands Dining Room, and that's their casual family sit down place throughout the day. It is what it is. My favorite bar. I'm going to say the same thing then once we get to Cabana Bay, but probably one of my favorite bars on property, Jake's American Bar. That is their mixture of restaurant and the best bar that they have there. So the restaurant has burgers and other not basic menu items. It's actually priced a little high for what they offer. I mean, sandwiches and fast options, but with a nice sit down style service.
I'm so getting hungry right now.
And me too. So am I.
But my stomach is
then they have their bar, which they offer, I don't remember what the actual name of their big share drink is, but kind of like the OWA or Nautilus experience at Trader Sam's. They have one of those that
Scorpion Bowl? Is that?
I believe that's actually the name, yeah.
Yeah, because those are like a big thing at all the Chinese food restaurants in Massachusetts, but when I came here, not a lot of people know them, and I'm always like, do you guys have Scorpion Bowls? And they're like,
I believe that's actually what it is. I might be wrong, but
I get one if that is it.
I mean, the bowls that they serve it in are absolutely gorgeous. You don't get to keep them, but apparently people steal them all the time, as well as their beer glasses that have the Jake's American Bar logo on them. I am condoning no stealing.
Okay.
You thought I was going to say I am condoning stealing.
I
did.
I was like, whoa.
I twisted it back around. But their beer selection there is absolutely wonderful. So if you do feel so inclined, get one of their excellent craft beers that they have at that bar. And please do not steal the glasses. Moving on upstairs in the lobby area, because that's actually on the second floor of the main lobby. There's two floors. On the upstairs floor is the Orchid Court Lounge and Sushi Bar. That's your lobby bar with sushi as well.
Beautiful up there.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
No, it's stunning.
And then they have that whole central location with the very lush garden and fountain pool-y thing in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Not pool-y as in swimming, just pool as in viewing.
Meditation pool.
Very good.
Yes, thank you. And then the pool bar, of course, is the Bula Bar and Grill. And then there's also an ice cream section set up there.
Whew. You're doing good, Craig.
That was quick. I'm going through it. Happened there. Jake's Beer Dinner or Jake's Beer Festival, depending on which one it is. Usually a paired course of beers, different craft beers from around the world with food. And then Saturday nights, you have the Wanitalan Luau. So they do a luau there.
That was a mouthful.
Never been to it. Want to do it. I said it really quickly because I'm probably pronouncing it wrong.
Is this a luau combined with a meal or just a luau as in viewing?
Luau and meal.
Okay.
Yep. Got to do dinner and a show.
Okay. I'd be interested in this because I love the one that Heck they yeah. do at the Polynesian.
I absolutely hate that, but we'll save that for the Disney World show at some point.
Okay.
I'm sure we will. So Royal Pacific, highest recommendations on it, just like all the other hotels. And now for my absolute favorite, Loews Cabana Bay Beach Resort.
Amazing.
So, of course, this is the newest as of the time that we're saying this and all that junk. It opened basically a year ago today. Or no, that was a year ago yesterday.
Okay.
My bad. So it already celebrated its 1 year anniversary.
It is a family resort dream.
Yeah. It's themed to the 50s and 60s kind of highway beach motels that you'd see if you're driving up and down 95 looking for a place to stop off around Jersey, maybe. I don't know.
I would say even South Florida. We got
South
places.
Florida. Well, actually, the Americana and the Continental Towers, those are based off of the first Loews Hotel that was in
Miami.
Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So that's,
I know. I recognize it. That's where I grew up.
Clever, clever.
See?
So Cabana Bay is just a 50s, late 50s, early 60s aficionado's dream.
Mm-hmm.
Just vibrant white everywhere around. That's still the 60s classic furniture that you'd see places. The whole feel of it is just like you're walking in a retro landscape, and it carries around everywhere.
It's all kinds of awesome.
Yeah, and I've praised my love to it
many
times.
Every detail goes back to that theming. I mean, the places that you eat, the amenities, the toiletries, the style of the furniture, the layout of the rooms, it's the upholstery, all of it.
Absolutely. It's also the largest resort with 1,800 guest rooms. There is 900 family suites, 600 of them in the Cabana Courtyard area, and then 300 in the Lazy River Courtyard area. The Lazy River Courtyard area is where they have the two towers I mentioned, the Americana and the Continental. The Cabana Courtyard is its own separate thing then, and that the 600 family suites that are in that area are set up in your standard motel style, where you have outside access to your doors. I think that's the best way to put it, whereas the two towers are inside hallways and corridors that you walk through, so that way you're the window you're looking out, you're not looking at people walking past you, you're only looking at the pool area or the highway or Dr. Phillips High School in some locations. And sorry, then just to finish up real quick, then the 900 standard rooms, those are all in the two towers in the Lazy River Courtyard. You won't find any of those in the Cabana Bay Courtyard area. Go.
I was just going to say, I know that I said that Pacific Bay was my favorite resort, but that's among the deluxe resorts.
Mm-hmm.
Cabana Bay is incredible. If I want to go anywhere with my kids, Minion rooms are fantastic. Jurassic Park rooms are fantastic. But I want to take my kids to this resort. It is just plain fun. And whereas we're talking about the serenity and the luxury of the other resorts, it's not that this one lacks luxury, but it is more of a family feel, and it's got this energetic vibe to it.
The big issue that I kind of have whenever we talk about the word luxury, I do think about stuff like Portofino, where we said it's luxurious, but that's in a standard high fashion European kind of way, if that's making any sense at all.
Yes.
To me, Cabana Bay is just as luxurious, just because I think from what I know in this time period, we're all slobs now, just living in a world, ruining it, Wall-E style. And but harkening back to that late 50s, early 60s,
and his cheerful outlook on life.
Well, I think to that dapper attitude where people dressed up everywhere they went, as I'm sitting here wearing a t-shirt and a backwards hat. But that whole style back then, to me, is, you know, you might not be the most rich person. You might be a middle class family, but when you go out in public, you still go out in style everywhere you go. And mm-hmm. that's what I see at this resort.
Well, I was just going to say the hotel reminds me of, like, it looks like the people who used to dress up for the airplane rides would stay here.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
This is where that plane where they're smoking their cigarette on the airplane. Like, this is where it lands us here.
The whole Mad Men era. Yeah. This is my grandparents' life. And that's another thing that I love about it is being able to, you do actually feel like you've reached out and touched that time.
Yeah. Oh, the Universal creatives that we talked to whenever it first opened said their whole inspiration was even this is Mad Men without smoking in public common areas.
Mm-hmm. It is 100%.
That's exactly what it is. That's
nailed
what
it.
They were going for. So the family suites, they have basically a standard room attached to it as well as a living area. And those can sleep up to 6 total. So 4 in the 2 bedrooms and then in the actual living area that has a pullout. So can sleep 2 more on there. And then in your standard rooms, you're only going to be able to sleep 4.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas all of the deluxe hotels that we talked about, they start at 5. They can sleep up to 5 people if there's a rollaway available in there, if not 4 in all of them. So keep that in mind if you have 6 in your family. You basically have to go for a family suite at Cabana Bay.
It's such a nice little suite, though, too. Even down to the layout of the bathrooms, when you have that many people staying there, they have it laid out very cleverly. And then you've got your little kitchenette in the room. But at the same time, you're walking distance to a lot of different food options. There's the food court, and then there's the Starbucks. And then it's just so smart. Yeah.
Well, let's jump into the dining. Like you just mentioned, you have the Bayliner Diner, which is my favorite. I think after, you know, weighing in Cowfish and Leaky Cauldron and some of the fancier dining and City Walk in the Parks, I think Bayliner Diner is still my favorite place to get food anywhere at Universal.
Interesting.
It's all quick service. I mean, it's your standard food court. They have 5 different sections of where you can get food. You can get pizza, sandwiches. They have some around the world flavors, which used to have my favorite thing there, the Swedish meatballs, mm-hmm. which was out of this world, and they took it off and replaced it with a beef stew and a puff pastry, which I'm still very upset about, but I will get my vengeance one day. But then they have the absolute best thing you could ever eat there, and that's the tuna noodle casserole. It is only like $9, and if you made the portion that they give you, if you made it at home, it would literally be the entire pan.
Okay.
Like, it is just massive portions of cheesy tuna noodle goodness.
It's cool. So how many children can you feed with one order of tuna noodle casserole?
Depending on the age, like...
One Greg.
Like, kids that are 7 to 10.
7 to 10? I would say you can probably do... if the average 7 to 10-year-old, I would say they could split a portion of
okay.
it. If they're a hefty eater, then they'll
plow.
The world. They'll plow slash trudge. They'll pludge their way through probably about 3/4 of it.
We need to start keeping a list of these words that you say.
That was one of the worst.
Here's what I love about that. That food area. As a family going to the parks, you wake up super early in the morning to get there before the park opens. This is an awesome way to start your day. You go to that food court, you get a little bit of breakfast. There's a little bit of a slight buzz going on in the area while everybody's still wiping the sleep out of their eyes. And then they've got this huge screen that's playing old cartoons and vintage commercials and stuff going
on. 4
of
them.
And it's just fun. And then after that, you mosey over to the little bus stop area where you're still waiting inside in the air conditioning. And before you head out to your day at the park, the fun has already started because you're already in the middle of theming.
Yep. No, I absolutely agree. That's why everything together, it's my favorite place to eat on property. And then they also, at the Bayliner Diner, they give you the, if you pay for them, I guess, they give you the refillable mugs that are kind of like the ones at Disney with the RFID chip in it, pay for the amount of days. But it's got some of the best artwork that you'll ever see on it. So I highly recommend that. Other places to get food. we haven't talked about it yet, but there's a freaking bowling alley.
I was just going to say, yes, Cabana Bay. Talk about
exactly.
That.
You can get food up there. You can also get food outside at the Lazy River Courtyard Pool at the Hideaway Bar and Grill. And then the pizza place that's inside Bayliner Diner, that will actually also serve you up in your room. Like, every hotel has room service, mm-hmm. I think, in general. All these hotels do have room service. This one is specifically, though, the pizza mm-hmm. menu that they have. You can get sent up. You already hearkened on it. There is a Starbucks there, one mm-hmm. of the two, as I mentioned before. And
a really cool one. When yeah. we say Starbucks, we don't mean, like, Starbucks that you see on your corner. We mean Starbucks that if Starbucks was back in that era, that's what Starbucks would look like.
Exactly, with the Wiki Watchy mermaids on there, and
it's just fantastic. You kind of actually have to experience to really get a hold of what we're saying.
And you don't have to like Starbucks, but just go in there and appreciate all the design and the artwork mm-hmm. of the Starbucks there. One of my favorite lounges anywhere that I didn't want to get too excited about with Jake's, because I also love this one, the Swizzle Lounge. Mm-hmm. This is the lobby bar. And at night, whenever the entire lighting changes for the resort, that's whenever you do feel like you're in Mad Men. You want to order it old fashioned and, you know, just go commit adultery and all that fun stuff while you're chain smoking
order
cigarettes.
Dirty drinks and
yeah, you know, just be a complete sleazeball. But that's obviously you don't do that, but that's the type of feel that it has, and they're really good bartenders there. It's a lot of fun. Then, as I already mentioned, the Hideaway Bar and Grill, that has a bar attached to it in the Lazy River Courtyard. And then the Atomic Tonic is the Cabana Bay Courtyard bar, which is fantastic. And all the bars around have specialty drinks at each one, so it's also not the same boring stuff at them. You can get different things everywhere. Dining there, if they would have been able to add on a full-service sit-down restaurant, which would then absolutely take this out of a value resort, in my opinion, and classify it solidly as a moderate.
Definitely.
That would have just been over the top. Maybe one day they'll add on to it. Who knows? But we'll cover recreation, too. We already mentioned the bowling alley. It's a 10-lane bowling alley. It can get busy whenever it's raining outside, but on nice days, you could probably walk in and just have a good old time bowling.
Good old fashioned fun.
Yeah, who doesn't love bowling? Probably people with no arms.
Yikes! Moving on.
I went there. right next to it is the arcade, the Game-O-Rama. It's got arcade games and fun, and you can win prizes, all that jazz. And then the highlight of Cabana Bay Beach Resort, the Jack LaLanne Fitness Center.
Absolutely.
Who doesn't love Jack LaLanne?
Well, the highlight is a fitness center.
Yeah, it's got Jack LaLanne paraphernalia.
Okay. Doesn't get better than that.
We don't see eye to eye.
I don't know who that is.
See?
But if you tell me, I might. Like, I might just not know the name.
Craig looks so deflated right now.
Juicers?
He made juicers?
You don't have a TV or cable. I mean, it wouldn't matter now, but I'm guessing you also didn't have a TV or cable anytime throughout the 90s. And
I didn't have cable growing up, no.
Okay, there you go. That would explain everything. I'm sorry for your loss as a child.
I had a lot of catching up to do.
You do. It's Blast from the Past. Also,
I do have that on DVD, though.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Wonderful choice. I can't remember if we talked about it anymore, so I'll just jump back to the pools. You have the Cabana Bay Courtyard area pool, and that's where you'll find the iconic diving tower slide
that you don't actually dive on, by the way.
Yeah, you can't dive on it, but it's a beautiful looking dive tower.
It is quite the aesthetic masterpiece.
Yeah, I could look at it.
I agree.
Also in this area they have the cabanas that you can actually rent out if you want to relax cabana style. And then there's a really fun little recreation area as well that has some pool tables, ping pong tables, horseshoes, crap like that
people
play.
The pool area always, we've talked about Mad Men, but the pool area specifically always reminds me of that movie Catch Me If You Can with Leonardo DiCaprio, when he's got his own little place and he's throwing the party before the cops come in and almost catch him and he has to slide out a window. But he's got that whole big party thing going on. Yeah. That's what this pool area reminds me of. That just everybody is going to hang out and be having a good time and the end.
Totes. And then the other pool is the Lazy River Courtyard Pool, as with a lazy river that you can buy a raft for it. They do not give you free rafts because they do not have the facilities to clean the rafts. So you can bring your own from home, which is, I guess, not that inconvenient because it would come in a sealed bag, or you can buy them there. And they, because they don't have the facilities to clean it and they have to sell you the rafts, they made sure that they kept it on par with the same price that you would pay if you would go to Walmart or anywhere.
Which was very considerate of them.
It was very considerate because they're not concerned about making the profit on it. They just want it to be accessible. They would have loved for them to have the area to clean them off and sanitize.
But they don't.
But they don't. So they're going to give them to you for what you would pay if you would be able to leave property.
Does it? Have you seen it? Does it say like Cabana Bay on it at all?
No, they're just standard
rafts. Oh, so it's not like a cool souvenir or something like that? No,
it's not anything fancy. It's just rafts. Okay. And then there's also a white sandy beach area that you can sit and relax on. Just both of the pools there are excellent, wonderful. Mm-hmm. They get crazy during tour group season and
yes.
summer.
I would say, yeah, that would be the difference. Whereas, you know, we were talking about the deluxe pools not seeming... Even though they can get busy, but still not seeming chaotic and having a sense of serenity, that would not be this pool area.
Yeah.
This pool area is pretty boisterous.
It is, but whenever things are peaceful and quiet, it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I love it.
It can be really beautiful in the evenings. Yep.
And that is, that's Cabana Bay Beach Resort. So the only thing we really have left is Sapphire Falls. And that's more of a teaser.
Tell us about it. Well, what do you know?
It's going to be opening up in summer 2016. It's going to be the first moderate resort there. Bookings should start very, very soon from everything we're hearing. We were told sometime around April 2015. So
now I know that we've talked about this a little bit on other episodes, but just since this is an episode dedicated to resorts, probably should be mentioned. What is the theming of this resort?
It's a Caribbean-style themed resort, but I like to think of it as from what I can tell from the concept art, because obviously it's not built yet, I would say it's more of a classy Caribbean style themed resort. So don't go over to you attach moderate and Caribbean to it, obviously Disney people and even some Universal people right away might jump to think, oh, this is going to be like Caribbean Beach over at Disney property. I highly doubt this a million times over. If anything, they're going to want to shut that place down after this opens up competing with the same theme. I mean, just the concept art alone, it's going to be beautiful, really classy, a lot of water. That's why they're able to add in the water taxi feature. You're going to have pools. You're going to have a sit-down restaurant in there, giving it that little bit of moderate status.
I have the image of all volcano in my head? Is that having to do with the water park and I'm getting things mixed up
a little bit? Yeah.
Okay, sorry everybody.
But that's fine. It's coming along soon. I know there's still a lot of dirt over in that area where they're building it up, but I am very excited about it. We'll probably end up being on the initial list of people booking whenever it does open up, just
and
to get
I
a look
won't
at
be
it
complaining about that.
Yeah, I won't be complaining about it too. So it's going to be located right beside Royal Pacific, so they'll be kind of adjoined with convention space and all that stuff, and then across the street from it will be Cabana Bay, but it's coming along, so
lots of good stuff to look forward to.
Yeah, don't have much information beyond the basics on Sapphire Falls, but it's coming along, and I can't wait to talk about it whenever it does open it up.
I am super excited for our land and sea thing now, because I've never really experienced any of these hotels, and this little thing that you just did, like, I want to leave right now and go to those hotels.
I know.
It's coming up. I mean, less than a month at this point until we're over there starting to cover all of it, so I hope...
Resorts and a boat. I'm all green lights on this.
You can't beat that with a stick. I guess you can.
Nope.
Or you can. I don't know. Well, thank you so much for the participation today between the two of you. I know things were rough at times, but I hope everyone kind of got a broader sense of an idea of what the resorts are at Universal and maybe even convince you to go and walk around at all of them.
Do it. You will not be disappointed.
I absolutely agree 100%. So I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition.